Running this March 9th through April 10th is the God Machine Volume 1 Revision Kickstarter, a revised and definitive edition of the graphic novel that originally came out in 2010, a torrid yet darkly humorous tale of lost love, monsters, and gods, by writer and artist Chandra Free. Featuring 180 pages of fully painterly comic art, new covers, a new logo by Phil Balsman, relettered by Taylor Esposito, a new foreword, revised text, extended scenes, new comic pages, art galore, new characters, and returning is the original foreword by Venture Brothers' own Doc Hammer. This is a perfect book for new and original fans alike. But wait, there's more. The Kickstarter video features Dr. Venture himself, James Urbaniak. Meow. Not only that, but Toonami's own Dana Swanson lends her voice to this amusing ride. Come check it out at thegodmachine.org. We have the book, pins, prints, paintings, and original art. We can only do this with your help. That's thegodmachine.org from March 9th to April 10th. Make it happen, friends. Rated M for mature readers.
The following episode of Guild of Calamitous podcast contains subject matter and discussion of topics that may be considered triggering by some listeners. Viewer discretion is advised.
Incoming Guild transmission. Code Zulu. Oscar. Mike. Bravo. Oscar. Yankee. Sierra.
Hello!
Hi!
I'm Rilo, I'm your vet fan.
I'm Garden, I'm your baby fan.
And this is Guild of Calamitous Podcast, an unofficial Venture Brothers rewatch podcast. Hi, Garden.
Hi.
So they access Doc's mind with the things that he loves most. What would they use to access your mind?
We're gonna have to put my boyfriend in there.
So Orpheus would hold your boyfriend's hand.
Yes. We're gonna have to something with a bee on it. Cause I really like bees.
Okay, so a bee, your boyfriend.
I don't know, probably my violin.
And your violin.
Yeah, that's like the one inanimate object that I would probably die for, but only out of like pure sentimental value.
So a bee, your boyfriend, and your violin.
Yeah.
That's how you get into the garden.
Yeah, pretty much. Alternatively, like some really solid eel sushi. Like really good eel sushi.
Not like crappy eel.
No, because crappy eel's like it's tough, it's not cooked well, it's like got little bones in it. It's terrible. Good eel.
Bones.
Oh. Good eel is it melts in your mouth. It's very meaty fish. I like eel. I really like grilled eel. It's really good.
I mean, that could unlock any mind.
I don't know. I do know people who are not fans.
I am not partial or impartial to it.
Now, what for you? What for you?
So, my dog, a photo of my nieces and nephew, and fuck.
No, one more.
Okay, one more. You need a third one.
A few minutes later.
I'm thinking really hard.
Many hours later.
1 eternity
later.
I guess my signed season 1 DVD, maybe? I don't know. Yeah, I think, my dog, a photo of my nieces and nephew.
And you see your signed season 1 disc.
And my signed season 1 box set, yeah.
Solid.
I think that might be it. That's really hard.
I know, right?
The third one I really struggled with.
Like that's like one of those things that goes around on Facebook. Was like, what's the five things you would put in a pentagram to summon you?
Oh God, I can never do those.
I know, right? You can do that for other people, easy.
Yeah, I know, because you're like having no trouble.
But when it's like, what would I use to summon? Like, what would I use to summon me? I don't know. Hot coffee.
Hot coffee. Sushi.
Some kind of warm food. Food. Just tell me that there's food.
Alternatively, a photo of the kids I take care of.
Yeah, that would definitely be one of them.
That'd be a third one.
Or just yeet several of them.
Just yeet a handful of the children I take care of into a box.
And then, I mean, they'd fit.
A crate. They're tiny. They're all
they
tiny.
They are very small children. They're very slight.
Slight individuals. All of them. My nieces and my nephew. They're all very small.
Your nephew is physically small, but he is a chunk. He's a cute chunk.
He is a cute chunk. I do rather enjoy him. I do rather enjoy my little...
Your darling nephew.
My own little version of Dean. That's his middle name. I'm not even joking.
I know.
That's his middle name. His middle name
is Dean. It's
great. Yeah. I don't think his parents have even seen the show. So, yeah. Okay. That took forever for an intro. Let's get on with the episode. Yeah. Today's episode, Assisted Suicide, written by Doc Hammer, directed by Jackson Publick, with an original air date of October 17th, 2010. Its episode number is 53. Our cast of characters and voice cast today are as follows. James Urbaniak as Dr. Venture, the Rusties, and the Rusties Women. Patrick Warburton as Brock Sampson. Michael Centre-Nicholas as Dean Venture. Stephen Ratazzi as Dr. Orpheus. Chris McCulloch as The Monarch, Hank Venture, Sergeant Hatred, Pete Thanatos White, and Tim Tom. Doc Hammer as Dr. Mrs. The Monarch, Henchman 21, Billy Eros Quizboy, Shoreleave, and Kevin. Good editors edit out our first take of that, where I'm just giggling because of the Rusties.
So many Rusties.
There are a lot of Rusties.
There
are a lot of Rusties. Yeah, who's Rusty? All of them. I like the idea that the Sphinx guys just sort of hang out.
I do too. Like
at the Venture compound.
I mean, where else are you gonna go? You're part of this like super secret underground, you know, assassin camp.
That by the way, OSI totally knows about because they invited him to the think tank.
Totally, but still, like. You're gonna go home after that?
Yeah, where are you gonna go?
Do they have homes?
On your day off, where are you gonna go? I just mostly love how Shirley has thoroughly ingrained himself into the Venture sort of how you say unit, so to speak. Family unit. He's just become that gay uncle.
The family tumor, if you will.
He's not a tumor. He's
no,
he's
no.
Just,
I'm saying the family as a whole, the family tumor.
Oh yeah, no, the genetic cesspool.
The genetic cesspool that is the Ventures, the family tumor.
Yeah. To the point where he's just playing football. Like I gotta know how that started.
Probably how noticed that boys couldn't throw a ball.
Well, how do you get It's the setup. It's the people they have together to play football.
I mean, well, Dr. O doesn't have Triana around, so what does he do on his days off?
Hangs out with Al. What is Al doing? Al's boyfriend and his roommate are on a playing football.
Maybe Al's out getting a pedicure.
Pampering himself.
I mean, everybody
deserves
self-care.
What's an alchemist to do?
Everyone needs self-care.
Like,
it's Al's self-care day, you know.
Yeah.
I got nothing to do.
It's the fact that this is Like, I want to know how that started. Like, how did they gather this group? Like, I can see how you could get, like, yeah, Shoreleaf would be game for it.
Hatred, Dean. I could see you, Dean, getting roped into it.
Dean getting roped into
Orpheus
it.
Orpheus is the red herring here.
That's weird. I want to know how they get Orpheus.
Uneven teams, Shoreleaf went and asked.
Couldn't he invite, like, Mile High or something? Or Hunter? There's so many other
kidding?
People.
Can you imagine getting Hunter in a touch football game?
It'd be hilarious. What are you talking about?
There would be blood.
But Mile High, what is he doing? Is it a Sunday? Because
it might be a Sunday.
Because Mile High stuck with the Lord's path, supposedly.
It might be a Sunday.
Might be a Sunday, he might be at church. I don't know. I'm just
I
want to know why.
I have a friend who like goes to church on Sunday and he's there for like 8 hours. So like
I want to know.
And sometimes Wednesday, depends on the time of year.
I want to know how they got Orpheus to play touch football. That's all. Because also look at him. There is no muscle.
There is no muscle there.
Like, you know, there's no muscle on Dean. But it's like, how do you get this middle-aged man? Like, it's something that kind of low-key bugs me. Like, it's just like, I want to know.
I have questions.
I desperately.
There will be no answers.
Yeah. No, there's, yeah. No, it's one of those things that we'll never get an answer to. And we just have to sort of accept it and move forward.
So moving forward.
Yeah. Shirley, by the way, really wanted to be Skins. That's an ongoing thing.
I can imagine.
Because he really wanted to be Skins. Which, I mean, if you look like him, wouldn't you?
Hell yeah.
Want to be Skins? Yes. Yes, please. But Dean had to be Shirts. Because he didn't want to get sunburned.
God damn it.
Dean.
We blame Dean
for everything. Dean just gets railed on all of season 4.
Poor Dean.
So have we talked about Brock's deep connection with his car?
Way, way back. A long time ago.
That he could, like,
ago,
sense it? He could sense it?
In a galaxy far away. Back when we had terrible mics.
Yeah, like.
Then we talked about it.
We haven't talked
about it since.
No, he could still tell when someone's in his car.
Someone's in my car.
So, a legitimate superpower.
See, I like to think that people everywhere actually have superpowers. They're just like really generic stuff, kind of.
We're gonna come back to that. Put a pin in that one because I want to talk about that one later.
Like mine is, I can bake bread without precise measurements.
That is a superpower.
It is a superpower. I'm pretty freaking happy about it.
But I want to talk about that later, specifically to something else.
Okay. I will keep that in mind.
Put a pin in that. We're going to talk about that in like 10 minutes. Don't worry.
It's pinned on the mental bulletin board.
On the mental big board. Put it on in there. It's nice to know that Brock, though, is doing something for the world because a Charger cannot get good gas mileage. It's a good thing he went green.
Oh, yeah.
Not only that, you can't, like, kill yourself by turning it on in a garage. Spoiler, that's what Doc's doing.
Yeah, Doc is trying to poison himself with carbon monoxide.
Doc is trying to end his own life. Goodbye, cruel world. It's the look on his face while he does it. It's almost unsettling.
It is. It's very unsettling.
It's like, yeah.
It's absent.
The lights
almost.
Are on, but no one's home.
Yeah, it's that absent 1,000-mile stare.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just disconcerting.
Yeah.
And they did a great, props to the animation team in Korea, man.
You know, I think that's on a real good storyboard artist and animation director.
Yeah, both. Which, you know, props to everybody. That is a great little, like, emotion to get in the animation.
Which I believe on this episode it includes creator of OKKO, Ian Jones Quarty.
Nice.
On that team.
Definite props for the emotions portrayed. That is a rough one.
Yeah. So he also, you know, tries to fill his mouth with shaving cream, set off a road flare, stab himself,
hang himself with
Orpheus's tie.
Well, Orpheus is wearing it.
Yeah.
But Dr. Venture is not suicidal.
No, he's possessed.
Like what? Like, oh, that came out of freaking nowhere. It's like,
But if anyone's gonna know,
it'll be Orpheus.
It'll be Orpheus, and I trust him.
I can trust that.
I can trust that.
That is a proven expert.
There's little things in the doc comatose setup. Like the fact that Dean put Mr. Ricci next to him.
Yeah, that's very sweet.
To
be fair, when my mom was in the hospital and was in a medically induced coma, we gave her a purple llama.
It's little things like that, yeah.
Yeah, you know, that's kind of just, it's a thing that you do as a kid, and we called it the mama llama.
Exactly, the mama llama.
Yeah, it's, and she still has it.
But Dean's not a kid, they're 17.
I mean,
I was
24.
Okay, that's fair. But I also like how we immediately go from
medical to exorcist.
Yeah, we have the field monitor that Hatred's hooked up. Who knows if it works?
Hey, it works.
Charlene with a bucket for the vomit, Dean in a raincoat for the vomit, and Hank with a camera
for the vomit. if I was their age and I had just seen The Exorcist and like I was that naive, yeah, I could see how they'd go like, oh, possession.
Yeah, anything could happen except for pea soup vomit.
Which is a shame. It's such a good movie.
What's the really offensive line in it that she says? See, now I'm thinking about it. This is probably going to be all bleeped. It's the long ass bleep.
Let Jesus f*** you.
No, the one about the mother.
Oh,
your mother
God.
Sucks.
There's a lot of them. There's a lot.
There's
like f*** your daughter. Yeah, like all sorts of. It's obscene, but it's a good movie.
It is a good movie. It's a good movie. I saw it way too young, but it's a good movie.
I saw it several times, and it is one of my favorite films of like the horror genre.
I don't even like scary movies, but I like The Exorcist.
It's gotten to the point where it's no longer scary.
No, it's just campy.
But it's a good camp.
It's a really good camp.
It's a solid camp. And it's a great thing for like mid-80s horror.
So, fun fact, did you know that you could travel into people's minds to arch them? Well, you can't legally. Stop the monarch!
Look, you know, if you gotta do what
you do. What you gotta do. At least he has a very loving and supportive wife who also is a scientist and
who can do that.
And also kind of knows what she's doing with a defibrillator when you flatline.
Like, we stand Dr. Mrs. the Monarch.
I love her so
she
much.
Is the most competent person
on this show, and she's a woman, and I think that fact should not be lost on anyone.
No, she is a conventionally attractive woman
and the most competent
on this entire goddamn show. And
I love that journey.
And she is a, you know, she has her degree. She is a doctor.
Good for her.
Like, rock on.
And I like also that 21 just sort of went along with it without asking too many questions.
I mean, he's a henchman. You're not supposed to ask questions.
Not supposed to ask questions. Although
that's above their pay grade.
But this is, yeah, this, but this I think is.
I would ask questions.
I would ask questions if you're.
I would have questions.
Or ask questions, or, you know, just go along with it, whatever. Because at this point, it's 21's already sort of setting himself up to be a number two. So so to speak. He's become sort of a number two to the monarch, right-hand man.
The first go-to individual.
Yeah, because, I mean, he has his queen.
The manager, if you will.
And then he has his right-hand man.
What is the groom of the stool?
I don't like that.
Literally in charge of wiping the king's ass.
Nope. We are not using that term for 21.
He's like that level of importance. Not doing that duty, but I'm five. I'm sorry.
But the fact that we suddenly just get a whole info dump on like the inner workings of going into someone's mind to arch them. One, it's illegal. Two, if you pull them out early, they become a vegetable.
Makes sense.
Three, the only option is to hook them up to life support, which honestly, if I ever have to have like an EKG attached to me again.
They're terrible, aren't they?
They're really awful. They're awful. And I've had it happen way too often lately. With having like a massive surgery in 2019 and then various
Rona
treatments. Yeah, it's not fun.
And like they're always
Mind robot.
It's always so hard to get off.
Oh, I still have sticky on me from when I had like a sleep apnea test a week ago.
Yeah, no, it's terrible. I will say what's worse than the sticky is when you get like neural sensors put on your head because you have to like comb the glue that they use out of your hair.
Oh no.
Yeah, I had to do that when I had a sleep study done and they like put the sensors all over my head. No, and I had long hair at the time.
I got really easy sleep study. You put the thing on my fingy. I put the watch on. I hit start after I put the thing on my right here, my sternum, and then I go to sleep.
No,
and then I wake up in the morning and I take it off and put it away.
Full thing because I just sucked at sleeping. I just suck at sleeping. The one thing that humans are supposed to be good at, I'm terrible at.
Wow.
I physically
That's honestly
suck
impressive.
At sleeping. I
Your
suck
body
at
does
breathing
not sleep.
And I suck at sleeping.
And combine those together, that's not good.
Yeah.
But if I have to do an EKG again though, I'd want robot nipples. I'd request robot
nipples. Robot nipples would be great.
Robot nipples,
I just think of the Austin Powers gun boobs. These boots are made for walking.
Yeah, just for reference, everyone, I did just do guns with my like
around your nipples,
around the general
area of the nipple,
areola area of the nipple. I'm wearing a shirt. Don't worry.
We are clothed.
We are clothed. This recording.
Hey.
No, we're
no,
always
we're always that. Clothed.
We're always clothed. I don't know why we said that.
Because we're five.
Robot nipples.
Robot nipples, totally.
I mean, that's a vibe, though. The various offers for assistance that all of the venture crew ensemble are offering Dr. O, like, surely offering up his rosaries from his Madonna face. I can vibe with that. Didn't we all have a Madonna face? Or is it just a certain breed of gay?
I think it's a certain breed of gay because I, as a diet gay, did not have a Madonna face.
But
You had a Madonna face.
I had a Madonna face. I had a Madonna face and I had a Cher face. That should have been a clue.
Yeah.
Like that was like selling red flags.
That was a clue.
Big clues. No, but he's not a priest, so he doesn't do that. He's just he's a, he He's a master necromancer. He can center the mind. It's fine. It's fine.
It's gonna be fine.
He just needs, you know, the right key to enter.
The Rusty.
Lots
of things entering the Rusty this season.
I don't like the way you worded that.
Well, I don't like the way that it's going.
Good thing we only have like an episode and a special left.
There's a lot of things being involved with Rusty and his body, and I am uncomfortable, Dr. Venture. I don't need to know that much about your body.
So, what is required to enter the Rusty?
Something.
According to Doc Hammer, they are as follows. I'm reading straight from the book.
Oh, good.
Autographed Lonnie Anderson picture, money, of course, and the trappings of science. There's an old Rush cassette, which is a guilty pleasure for Doc. It's prog rock that he can really crank in the car. We decided it was a best of, so maybe Red is not on it. Then that won't work for him. Of course, his sons are not a part of his prized possessions. So a best of Rush cassette just doesn't.
It doesn't fit the bill. It doesn't cut the bill. You'd have to have the full discography, and that's just not going to happen.
And not Hank and Dean.
That hurt. That hurt. I will say. I was like, I get it, but also like, I feel really bad for the boys.
Yeah. So
that hurt on behalf of the boys, not
that hurt on behalf of the boys. But the trappings of science, get a more in detailed thing from Shirley if he does. I mean, you have his old headshots, all the awards. The newspaper clippings, the shoebox of old love letters.
Again, that's just like mad.
But not the boys. But not Hank. They take away Hank. Then they take away Dean.
Maybe. No,
maybe it's just Dean. Both of them. That's both of them. And the Rush cassette. It's the best of. Yeah. Solid parenting on Brock's part, trying to assure Dean that it was the Rush cassette. They were both removed at the same time.
Yeah. I mean, scientifically, we don't know.
Scientifically, we don't know which one it is. But we do know that even missing one of them was enough. They didn't need the other.
Yep.
So.
I feel so bad for those boys.
Don't feel bad. They're fine. They're probably fine. It's okay. They're fine. They're probably fine.
It's okay. No.
So I like thinking of my mind like this now. Just a long hallway filled with doors.
You see, mine is definitely like a landfill.
Like I'm sure there's a room in my mind that is a landfill.
That just is a landfill. Mm-hmm. Covered in possums. As far as the eye can see.
Possums as far as the eye can see.
All of them possums. Wearing little rainbow sweaters.
Mm-hmm. And little rain boots.
Yeah, little red rubber rain boots.
Mm-hmm. Just walking around. Being awesome.
Having a great time.
Vibing. Maybe there's a disco light.
No disco light in mine.
Really?
No, mine would be more like a serene meadow of landfill.
Oh. I do like, though, that Billy take up enough mental energy in Rusty's mind.
That they have now become sex and death.
They've become sex and death. Eros being sex, which is Billy, and Thanatos being death. Which, by the way, I love that Thanatos looks like a Creed video. Like, I love that that's his vibe. It's just a Creed video.
Yeah.
Someone who genuinely hates Creed. Like, with a passion. I enjoy that. I enjoy dunking on Creed. I will do it any day. All day, every day, every day.
See, he reminded me a lot of, like, Edward Gorey illustrations.
Funny you should say that. But boom, right here. I'm looking at the book, the Bible.
So the big book of everything.
The big book. The Edward Gorey version of Pete White.
Yay! Edward Gorey is my favorite illustrator.
And nobody makes a better Cupid than Billy.
Well, I mean, where else are you going to find a big baby? And it's
Billy's
not going to be
never done. Billy's never done any actual genetic tests on himself, but he might have actual dwarfism. That's just tossed out there for everyone who wants it.
Maybe.
Have at it. Have at it. Have fun. Little water baby.
Oh, God.
That's what his mom calls him.
I know.
Kind of went all 21 and defensive there. And we find out that someone else is in there. Who'd have thunk? We all know.
We already know. As the audience, we know that. But
as the audience, we know that. They're just finding out someone else is
As my DM would say, that is out of character knowledge.
Yes. Trying to. Can we talk about Twenty-One tried to sing that Human League song.
That was something special.
FYI, that is not at all how the song goes.
Yeah.
And I love him for it. Like, it's not even on the right. It's not even.
But he's trying.
Don't you want me, baby? It's like, no.
He's trying.
Not even close. It's here we are. Now we're sort of at the thing. You know how I had you put a pin in something?
Putting a pin in something. Taking the pin out.
Taking the pin out, looking at it, looking at the little sticking out. So Kevin thinks he has secret mind powers.
I just like
that. It's like, sure, why not?
You know what? I get it.
He'll never know.
Maybe he does.
Tim Tom has the key. We'll never know now. He has secret mind powers.
I dream.
I really want to know more.
Kevin's secret mind powers.
See, and then I want to know what weird thing Tim Tom's got going on then.
His shoes never untie.
Aren't those just slip-ons?
What?
Don't they already make them?
Maybe he just likes tied shoes. But he just manages to never, like, step on the laces or, like, untie them unintentionally.
Such a fucking lame power! Oh my god!
Mine is, I can make bread without measurements.
That's actually useful!
Not
and
really.
Kevin's mind powers could possibly be useful. Tim Tom, his shoes never untie. Okay.
His shoes, he just manages to never unintentionally untie his shoes.
So, yeah. They're there for a security inspection.
And the monarch included himself in the security inspection.
To be a big man. Well, I mean, wouldn't you? If you're going to do a security inspection, you don't exclude yourself.
Totally. What happens if you've been captured?
Exactly. the fact that Monarch is just going ham in Doc's brain and puking now because he's getting violently ill.
He's not doing well in there.
No! Puking all over the memories. Opening shit.
Closing
all the doors
shit.
Are open.
Yeah, opening all the doors. Oh dear.
Yeah, that's what you want to do.
Just release all those boarded up memories.
So I think we already knew this, but Dr. Bissus and the Monarch are into kink.
Hell yeah.
I think that's already sort of been established. We didn't explicitly see it until now. We got the cheerleader.
It doesn't surprise me.
The cheerleading outfit. Don't worry, the cheerleading outfit is referenced again.
Oh, good. I'm happy.
The ball gag.
The ball gag and the harness, yes.
And the whip.
Yep. Poor 21.
that throw down.
Poor 21. Poor 21.
They can't see the Monarch's face, so they don't know that he's completely unconscious.
They don't need to. You don't need to. Also,
no, that's when the Monarch
is still in his like skin tight suit.
Of course he is, with the top undone.
Yeah,
that's cut open. Did she cut it open? I think maybe she did. To defibrillate.
Yeah, but that's a lot to absorb in that like 2 second moment. Which is probably why Kevin and Tim Tom left.
I really like the this room is all expected.
We're leaving now.
God damn, like you slowly unravel these different little bits of the Monarch and Dr. Mrs. the Monarch's marriage. This is another little bit. It's another little bit.
The fact that she has a Monarch
cheerleading outfit
on hand.
Mm-hmm. And I'm assuming the harness is a stretchy harness at that. So I wonder.
Usually aren't.
Yeah, because it would. I'm guessing it's for him. It's for the Monarch.
It would be very like they're usually pretty adjustable.
But
that's.
You go from a very, very slight man to a very, very built man.
I have questions.
It's nothing to worry about. Remember,
they have been safely inspected.
I mean, it's fine. Don't worry. Don't worry about it. It's fine. They're swingers.
I'm down.
Don't worry about it.
What I do love though.
Yeah.
Is 21 very, very quietly saying,
close the door behind you.
Just like.
Well, it's muffled by the ball gag.
I know. And it just. It's such a little thing.
It's the little things.
It's just that line that just ends that scene on such a great note.
I know. So.
Meanwhile, back in the Rusty.
I guess I'm glad this is that all the Hank and Dean's deaths
do weigh upon Doc. That they do they wander around his brain haunting him.
Yeah, most of the deaths that we've seen are there, plus some we didn't. I think they pretty much got them all.
Yeah.
I'm looking at all of them lined up here. We got Silent Killer. That's there.
Mm-hmm.
With their sunken eyes. We got various drownings, shark bites, arrows.
Sharp objects.
Hank jumping off the roof.
Yeah.
When they were attacked by Werewolf Rusty, when their heads got chopped off, when they crashed their bikes.
Their bikes, and that's the one that we saw.
That's the death we saw. Yeah, they're pretty much all there.
All 28 boys. 28 individual boys.
By the way, I just want to say, in looking at the book, the way Jackson describes it is... the parade of zombie boys, many of them, and that the parade of zombie boys, it also says the dead clones running around was pretty hot. Because it is. It's really cool.
It is really cool. And I do like, I like the, like, not only the implications, but just like the way that it is represented.
Yeah, and most of the deaths do match up to that montage
that we saw.
Yeah, and I'm counting them. I don't think all of them are here.
Well, he didn't know what had happened to the sevens at the time.
We got 22.
22 boys?
22 individual Hank beings.
Missing some boys.
So we're so some are unaccounted for.
We have some unaccounted boys.
But, yeah, I mean... I really like the fact that that does, it humanizes him, because he was pretty cold about the whole thing at the beginning of season two and at the end of season one. I mean,
it also does kind of like, after so many, yeah, you would get kind of embittered towards it.
Yeah, you just sort of get desensitized, but it does. Oh,
look, another one.
Oh, great. Look, I killed my kids again.
Now I have to clean the blood up off the floor. Like, it's one of those.
Yeah. Also, we get some hatred sort of asserting himself as the bodyguard when Brock's around, which is good, I guess. Because Brock still does...
Brock's not moving on very well.
Well, Brock, it's not that he's not moving on. It's that he's effectively a stepfather to these boys. He's effectively a father to them. And the fact that, first of all, they've gone so long without needing him because they've had hatred, and the fact that it's not his job anymore. Like, I could see how that would be foreign to him.
Yeah.
But
and we I do find that like parents go through a similar thing when you kind of don't need them anymore.
Yeah.
Kind of. Like you still need them, but like
not in the way you're
able to like drive by yourself or
ride
a bike alone, like that kind of thing.
Yeah. And that's sort of, I think, the motions that Brock's going through.
Yeah, he needs to find a new way to be needed.
Which I guess Sphinx is providing that, but
not in the same way.
Not in the same way. And the fact that I just really like that hatred, you know, makes point saying, this is not your job now. This is my job. I'm the one taking care of them and cleaning their little panties.
The panties line.
They're little under panties. Okay, so I'm just going to state it right here. Panties, I think, is not used for boys' underwear. At least
generally, no.
No, that's
not girls. That I have ever heard.
No, exactly. Same. Normally, it's briefs or underwear, underpants.
Or underpants, yeah.
Panties is not used for boys' underwear. Those are girls' undies. Not to gender things, but more feminine underwear
would be sold as
more feminine underwear.
Well, because they're cut slightly differently, too.
They are. Panties are cut differently. So, really, hatred needs to get educated on clothing.
This is actually like a stylistic issue where it's like, no, you know, you've got the panty brief. And that is really the only kind of like panty.
Yeah. Yeah. And also
is the panty brief.
And they are not typically made to support
standard Y chromosome attachments.
Yes. So I request that hatred I don't know if I'd want him doing my laundry.
I was doing my own laundry by the age of 15.
Yeah, look at Hank and Dean. No. I think Hank and
Dean could do his own fucking laundry.
Dean should. Hank,
Dean was living alone. Dean can do his own laundry.
Dean can do his own laundry. Especially if Hatred's calling their underwear panties, because that is not what they are.
That is an actual beef I have with this show.
Is that Hatred calls their underwear panties when that is incorrect.
Stylistically incorrect.
And he should know better. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk on panties.
Your TED Talk about underwear styles?
Yes. Yes. Besides, we know Hank wears underoos. Like, those are panties.
Those are briefs.
They're underoos.
Yes.
They're Aquaman underoos. Which you can buy. Side note, I only recently found out that they are making underoos again, and they make them for adults. This is life changing for me.
How many pairs of underoos are you buying?
I haven't gotten my stimulus yet, but
how many are you planning on buying?
Just a couple. Nothing to worry about. It's fine. It's probably fine.
Is it bigger than a bread box?
No. So, Dr. Mrs. in 21. We all knew this was finally going to come to a head. Here it is. When you finally get her away from... this has been building up, by the way, since season two.
He's been pining after her for forever.
So season two, when he accidentally copped the feel. Which I always find it hilarious when they interact, especially like in this sort of flirty setting. Because they're both talking about it. It's just flirting with himself.
It's really a heart-to-heart kind of thing where they're talking as outside of their assigned positions.
Yeah. But he's different. They think he's different.
To be fair, he is.
And the fact that Dr. Mrs. Monarch even calls him by his legal name and knows that.
It's very sweet.
Tiny spoiler, confirmed at the end of season 5, Monarch doesn't know his real name. He doesn't learn it. He doesn't know it. But Dr. Mrs. Monarch knows it. She calls him Gary. I like how all of the horrors 21's witnessed. You know, he's seen his only real friend die. He's seen a giant penny roll over a guy dressed like a rainbow. Wonder Boy.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen the Donkey Kong kill screen. I've seen attack ships fire off the shore.
I love it though.
I do too. I really do. I also love the cheer.
It makes me. Do you think that maybe she was in cheer? Like in high school?
She has a figure.
But like, she's also got the pep that she could totally have been.
Oh, she could. Oh, no. She totally could have. But would she have wanted to be? I mean, we saw her. She could have also been in cheer in college. Because we did see her in college, and she didn't look like she could have been in cheer.
I mean, you never know, you know?
Never know. See, this is why we need extended universe books. I bet she did. She's really good at gymnastics.
I know.
Oh, so she definitely did cheer.
Oh, hell yeah.
Definitely did cheer. Like, this is all making sense. So we meet the end. So side note on this one, they totally rode James to get that read from him. Because it's a very specific read.
Yeah.
Because he is the id. I can't even fucking. They are for the Rusty. The Rusty could have any of these women if he just put in the effort.
I also love that he is dressed as Caesar.
Yeah, he's a little Caesar. He's a little...
He's a little conquering boy.
He is. He is. Well, yeah. And I like how it's like 14-year-old Rusty. Like this. Really
look, you know, I will just say that this was only made slightly funnier by the fact that we are recording this the day after the Ides of March.
Oh, we are.
A2 Brutus.
A2 Rusty.
A2 Rusty.
All yeah. So all of the women. Let's go over them. We got the lady from Cupcakes.
I mean, yeah.
Lindsay Wagner.
Fair.
Myra.
Also fair.
Sally Impossible.
Double fair.
Dr. Quinn.
Weird, but yeah.
And Molotov.
And Dr. the Mrs. Monarch.
Oh, Dr. Mrs. the Monarch, of course. Yes.
Yes.
I
mean, both of those totally.
Not if they all... Yeah, I like how it's like a phone sex line, too.
It's the rotating bed.
The rotating bed...
The rotating the plush bed.
The phone sex line commercial poses. Not sure if I could handle them all being Rusty, though.
Yeah.
I don't know if I could handle that. Like, I mean,
you get... It's the voice.
It's the voice. It's the voice.
We love you, James, but...
No. We do.
No, that voice no. is great.
And I know some people really love Rusty. I know quite a few people who really, really love Rusty. It does nothing for me. I'm sorry.
I could get used to it.
You could get used to the Rusty.
Not the id Rusty, though. Id Rusty again.
The it's flying the baby shall make love to the black.
You know, hearkening back to a previous conversation that you and I had, mm-hmm. It's the instinctual desire to punch.
Oh, yeah. Based on the cameo.
The cameo that James Germaniak did.
Yeah. It's on Twitter. Someone tweeted it. I know someone who also is in the same sort of group chat of people. Tweeted it, but he did you can find it on his cameo. He did the silly goose TikTok.
Yeah.
Silly goose, so silly. that TikTok, someone in this group chat paid him to do that, and we love him for it. The cameo is the best thing to happen, man. It's so good.
Yeah,
he's going full. If you're not following it, he's going full. Just like, you know,
he's gone feral.
He's gone feral. Go big or go home.
It's amazing.
I love this journey for him. But
like it's that instinctual desire to just like no get away.
You think
go away?
Do you think he'd read something as the id if? I'm getting ideas.
Probably if you asked very nicely.
Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. It's fine. Don't worry about it.
By nicely, I mean with money.
Get the stimmy. Get the stimmy.
Get those stimmies.
I always like anything, though, that sort of puts Billy and Pete together. Because let's be real. They're a couple. They joke. I mean, come on. The subtext is there.
Look. They're a platonic couple, like we're a platonic couple.
No, it okay, is
maybe
not,
they're a,
there. It is not
they're even, pretty gay.
They're extremely gay.
To be fair, we're extremely gay.
But they are like legitimately. It's different. It's different. Theirs is like an actual.
They shall kiss.
They shall kiss. Yes, and they shall also.
And they shall use their tongues.
And there should also be second base.
And ass grabbing.
And mirth and laughter. I also like this tidbit that we're sort of just thrown a bone, which I assume is simply because Doc Hammer is a huge Star Trek fan. Aren't we all? Except that I can't really get into it. I don't, I know you're giving up.
I'm not giving you a look.
Okay. I don't
see. I became a fan by force.
See, and if I probably was forced to watch it while growing up, I maybe would see it differently.
Well, see, it wasn't even just growing up, it was where we grew up.
Yeah, no, I can see because that.
Because we live relatively close to Riverside.
To Kirk's birthplace, yes. Kirk's
yes, birthplace. Riverside.
There's Truck Fest every year.
Yep, which is, let me just tell you, dear listeners, the headiest thing that you can experience is a little Mennonite lady selling a pie to a Klingon. And that's what Trek Fest is like.
That is what Trek Fest is like, yeah. And it's kind of like Firefly. I mean, I tried. I gave it a valiant effort. I kind of like Next Generation maybe a little bit. But it's not like something I could like dedicate myself to.
There's also a lot.
Yeah. It's like Doctor Who, but here's the thing. I got really into Doctor Who. I was able to follow it. I don't know why Star Trek's different. I tried. I gave it a valiant effort. But Dr. Mrs. the Monarch is a fan, so that helps. Bonnie with 21, it's okay. It's probably okay. They're fine.
Definitely.
They're fine. They're okay. They're drinking wine. They're fine. We meet another version of the next level of the Rusty, which is
the deeper into the Rusty self.
The ego, who wants nothing to do with any of them, or the dead boy clones that are wandering around who are obnoxious.
He just wants to chill.
But they have to help them fix his childhood.
Get that ain't gonna happen.
They have to fix the boy. The boy being a Pinocchio. So he's like a Pinocchio's dad, whose name I can't think of. Geppetto. Geppetto. Yeah. Like he
desperately is trying.
He's really trying. He's really trying. And to build a young Rusty Venture, as seen in the Rusty Venture cartoon, before all the awfulness, much like Pinocchio, but he can't get the pieces to stay together. Like it's
just depressing.
So awful. It's we really see a lot of the sort of mental breakdown that Rusty has endured in this episode. Because we find out that, yes, the boys' deaths
do deeply impact him. They run rampant all over his brain.
They haunt his head and his brain and all facts of his life.
Causes problems.
The id inside of him is an obnoxious teenager.
Desperate for love,
and convinced he could get it from women who are not going to give him the time of day. And his ego is a broken man trying to repair
what's left of his childhood.
What's left of his puppet childhood.
Yeah.
His childhood personified as a Pinocchio-type puppet.
Soon it will be a real boy.
It's like
that's a lot to unpack.
Yeah, that we don't have.
It's time. A lot of like visual unpacking.
Yeah, and like you laugh at it at the time, but then you go back and you look at it, and then you're like, it's when you inspect it that you sort of get those like
you break down the whole like this is what this. Could mean.
Yeah.
This is the symbolism in this choice of portrayal.
Yeah. But outside of the Rusty, Dean's been hurt while playing football outside with shore leave and ink.
His butt is burning.
Not just yet. Soon.
It's itching.
We'll find out soon all about that. Because we got to talk about how the Monarch can't drive the Rusty. He's trying. And he has collapsed and flatlined. But Dr. Mrs. the Monarch nor 21 notice. Because they're kind of drunk.
They're busy.
And complaining about the Monarch.
And she does love him.
She does really.
Give that girl credit.
They have a real... Monarch and Dr. Mrs. have a really solid relationship. But here it is, 21 and Dr. Mrs. Kiss. It's no big deal. by the way. It's really not a big deal, especially for the type of couple they are. No doubt.
Yeah.
We all know that Sheila has absolutely cashed in on the open part of their relationship, and Monarch has not.
Alternatively, the Monarch's just kind of like, I'm cool to like sit over here and observe.
Yeah, I'm sure he watches.
Oh no, because like,
that's okay. So I feel grisly having said that.
But you know,
but I feel grisly saying it so cavalierly, I guess.
But at the same time, he,
because Monarch is definitely a jealous person.
But that might also help him.
That might.
Emotionally, not even just in other ways, emotionally, feeling some kind of jealousy may help him be more attached and committed to his wife.
Yeah, I don't know. But right now he's dying and they don't notice.
Yeah, right now he's flatlining.
Also, I like that we'll never know what Dr. O did to get the women to repair the little boy.
I do not want to know. Mm-mm. I don't want to know.
See, all the little boy needs is a mommy. He has such deep mommy issues that that's what he needs is.
But really, it's in the end. I have many, many questions. How Dr. O got those women in there is not one of them, and never will be.
Nope.
I don't want to know.
Don't want to know. Did you ever sit in black dirt?
I didn't sit in one.
Okay, yeah, clarify. I didn't sit in the black dirt.
No, so when I was a child, I would run the local school. It was the run for the schools thing.
Oh, yeah.
So you do the raise money, and you do. So my mom and I would do 5Ks, and mm-hmm. that was our thing. We would do the yearly 5K.
Yeah.
And one day we're in the parking lot, getting ready to head up to the starting line. And I'm there and I'm stretching and I feel like
no
and biting and pain.
No.
I could put my foot on top of a red ant nest.
Oh, you stepped in the black sand.
I didn't say it wasn't even black sand. It was just like dirt. It was just sand. I did not know that there were ants in the area because it was flat.
I got my hand in red ants. When I was in a play group in the summer at
that would do it.
Our local elementary school.
Our former alma mater.
On their playground, they had a little play group that was run like by the rec center. By college kids who were taking summer classes. Because we live in a college. We grew up in a college. Yeah.
Yes.
So there were people who were taking classes over the summer and they would, hire these guys to, or also high schoolers, like older high schoolers, seniors, to run this play group called Playground. And you just signed your kid up. It was free.
Here, have some supervised fun time for the child and you can go get groceries.
Yeah. It was like a couple hours, during the summer.
Go get your errands done in peace.
Every other day or something. It was just outside. On the playground. It was called Playground. And I really liked it, but one time I put my hand in
an anthill.
Red anthill.
Those things bite hard.
They do. It's like, and I can only imagine, because D doesn't have much of a caboose.
No.
So that's just going straight to nerves. There's no padding. Oh, and then Shirley sprays it with
Sprite
to make it worse, which also
all he's done is annoy them and then feed them food.
Meanwhile, Dr. Orr sort of, they figured it out. They could go to the mega ego can figure this out. We got this.
Oh yeah,
we're gonna get this. Whoever's controlling Dr. Venture, we'll get him out. That's fine. We'll go to the mega ego. He can get us to master control. Perfect. I like how the mega ego, by the way, is in a cell. and is built like built like a fucking tank,
like built like a brick house,
and has a full head of hair,
and like
and tan, and he's tan, he's
suave.
Like I like he's how that's Dr. Venture. That's the super ego. Also, I just want to toss this out. So that's we're sort of coming to the end here, and we're gonna be seeing in a minute. The anthill thing, as all horrible things that happened to the forest in this show, straight out of Doc's childhood.
I can imagine.
Complete with like supposedly, according to him, the
getting his butt hosed.
Getting his butt hosed in front of everyone. All the awful things in this show.
To be fair, like I was just thinking about this. The acid in that Sprite on those bites.
Oh, I know. He had to be in pain. Like I don't think this
horrible pain.
I don't think the Sprite was involved.
No, but like that's like I'm just thinking about Dean and going
oh, poor Dean.
No, that would have just hurt.
Dean is gonna need to see a doctor. Call Billy.
Billy, my ass got eaten by ants.
It's a conjecture signal.
But the Rusty is dying.
You know what you do?
The Rusty is dying.
You get in the ducks, you go to Master Control, and you make all of these dead boys out of the air ducts and call the Monarch Daddy. See, that's gonna fuck with him. Like, I don't think Monarch... I theorize Monarch has like long-term issues, like night terrors from this.
Yeah.
Like it's never confirmed or denied, but like you can't come out of that just fine.
No. That would be kind of traumatizing.
Yeah. The zombie boys hugging you and calling you daddy.
Yeah, especially boys that you have tried to kill.
Yeah, some of these deaths have to be caused by Monarch. Because not all of them are from the montage.
Like, that's gonna be
a lot to unpack. This whole thing is a lot to unpack. Come on now.
I know, but like Monarch later is gonna have to like unpack that on his own time, and that's gonna be a lot.
And he catches Dr. Mrs. and 21 kissing. No big deal. That's fine. It's probably
what's fine. Going on?
Yeah, it's probably fine. Don't worry, nothing's happening anymore. It's fine. It's probably fine. Don't you like how I just sort of like reassure you like that? But yeah, the hosing down is so... And I like also that Dr. Fincher's like, no, these guys are my problem. Do you like you just get shards out orders? Brock turned off the hose. Dean, get in the shower. Hank, stop giggling at your brother. Hatred, what the hell is hooked up to me? And surely...
I don't know, just go do something.
I have a huge headache. Because one would after your mind's been taken.
And tampered with.
And the post-credits.
Yeah.
So we know how awful Doc's childhood was.
And how terrible Jonas of a parent that Jonas Venture was.
Yeah. And how the rest of Team Venture wasn't that helpful. So, you know, Playboy Bunnies models actual whores to his 16th. Birthday party, real prostitutes. He's, you know, nervous puberty all over him, giant bathing suit, just awful. And they shrink his penis with the shrink ray.
Yeah.
Action Man and Colonel Gentleman.
Yep.
But that's not a nightmare. What he went through today was like a nightmare. What happened at his 16th birthday, that is his life. And that is so goddamn depressing and sad. Oof. Like, oh, big oof, man.
Oof. Pour one out for the Rusty.
Yikes. There's no fixing.
That's fucked up.
There's no fixing some of these issues. Bomb flare.
We wish you the best
in your endeavors. But we cannot help you.
We have reached the end of our episode.
Yeah, I guess, yeah. I zoned out there.
With just depression.
Just depression and sadness. But we made it through that journey together, dear listeners, and that's what matters. If you want also to learn more about other teenage angst, check out
Drama and Mayhem.
Trauma and Mayhem. Lost Love and Gods.
Lots of gods.
Lots of gods. And also want to see a video with James Urbaniak as a devil kitty. Meow. Go check out thegodmachine.org. Chandra Free's relaunch of her 2010 graphic novel as a full-blown series. It's good stuff, man. Back it. Back it with that stimmy that we keep talking about.
Oh, yeah.
And also, if you guys ever find yourself in a position where you are considering harming yourself, reach out, please.
Please.
Because I know that this is, you know, that's sort of the whole plot of this episode. If you're in America, call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. It's 1-800-273-8255. Or you can chat with them on the website. Seriously. I guess ending sort of on a serious note.
Yeah. We understand.
We understand.
And we are encouraging you to, you know,
seek help.
Reach out.
Just seeing as the topic is something that is heavily discussed in this episode.
Oh, yeah.
Next time, we're going to look at the last, like, actual non-special episode for a while. Silent Partners.
I am looking forward to it.
We're finally gonna dig our nails into the investors.
It's exciting. End it how we always do.
You know it.
In 3, 2, 1.
Go team venture. We love you guys.
Have a great night.